Well, hi everyone. If you don't know me, I'm Rob, one of the pastors here at Lake Mac Church. And this week for our Easter service, like Nathan said, we're going to be thinking about our fears. Now, those things that worry us, those things that cause us to panic, that's kind of what we're zooming in on. As I started to prepare, I found myself just a little bit curious as to what fears the people around our church had. And so I asked a bunch of you to share with us. And this is what you said. Well, it seems the clear winner there is spiders. Who knew? I think for most people, the idea of a spider pouncing on them or dropping out of nowhere, well, that's pretty fear-inducing, even if we don't like to admit it. But there's also a bunch of things that I think we could also classify as fears. Things that don't fit into that same terrified, screaming, horror movie kind of category as spiders, but are still fears all the same. And some of the people in the video touched on it. Fears about what might happen to our loved ones, fears about our security and safety, even fears about our food supply. And I think at the moment, many of us are facing those kinds of fears. Though we might label them as worries or anxieties, they're there, they're fears, they're in the same category. They're those uncertain thoughts that bubble along under the surface. And let's face it, there's a pretty good reason for fear levels to be high at the moment. We're shut in at home, there's grocery shortages, a virus looming that has the potential to sicken and to kill a whole lot of people. And that's just the short-term stuff. Right now, there's hundreds of people out of work. Small businesses are in trouble. Our economy is taking a huge hit. And all of this is stuff that won't go away quickly. It will take years for us to recover from all of that. And so whether we admit to it or not, at the moment, fear and anxiety is a very real problem for us. And you might be wondering what that could possibly have to do with the Bible or particularly the Easter story here on Easter Sunday. But what I want to think, what I think is sometimes forgotten, is what the Easter weekend would have been like for the disciples. See, for them, pretty well the whole Easter weekend was spent in a state of extreme fear and anxiety. The Bible shows us the story of Easter, the story of Jesus being arrested, falsely convicted, hung on a cross, dying though he was innocent. And then the incredible news that on Easter Sunday, he came back to life, that he conquered death. And as we hear that story of what happened to Jesus, that main story, we only get a few glimpses of the disciples and where they were at. See, when Jesus was arrested, those disciples fled in fear. A couple of them followed and watched what happened, and they watched his death from a distance. And then it seems that they locked themselves away. They hid for fear of the same people who arrested Jesus. They feared for their lives. See, for the disciples, their whole world had changed. As far as they could tell, at this point, the entire future they had imagined had been derailed. And they no doubt thought it was something that they'd never really recover from. And so the disciples spent that first Easter weekend, for the most part, locked away in fear, anxious about the future. Now, that's not so different from how most of us are celebrating Easter this year, is it? And so it's something for us to think about. And so the question we want to answer today is what should we do with that fear? What place does it have? How do we conquer it even? And spoiler alert, the thing we're going to find out is that when it comes to fear, what Jesus did over the Easter weekend makes all the difference. Now, we're going to do that. We're going to look at this, explore it by looking at three particular things. Firstly, we're going to see whether fear is good or bad. Secondly, we're going to see that fear brings perspective. And third, we're going to find a hope that conquers fear. Now, you might think of fear as being something that's always bad, but that's not the case at all. If the question is whether fear is good or bad, I want to give the same answer that the little girl in the old El Paso ad gives. to the question of hard or soft shell tacos. She says, ¿Por qué no los dos? Why not both? See, fear is both good and bad. See, it can be good. It's a type of fear that stops me from walking across the street without checking to see if there's any cars. It's the fear of failure for a uni student that forces them to study for the exam. It's even fear that makes me act a little bit more sensibly for the sake of looking after my kids. See, fear can definitely be a good thing. And when it comes to dealing with the coronavirus, it's an important thing. We should rightly fear the danger of it spreading too quickly. And particularly think about that for the sake of the vulnerable people amongst us. Fear helps us to avoid unnecessary dangers. It helps us avoid unnecessary pain. And so in that sense, it's good. But, ¿por qué no los dos? It can be bad as well. Because it's often irrational. See, when it comes to fear, often our hearts speak a whole lot louder than our heads. We see it all the time in all sorts of ways. One of the ways we see it here at Lake Macquarie is in the lake. We have sharks that live in the lake, and they're definitely there. I've seen them myself. And so when I talk to some people, they tell me that there is just no way that they would ever swim in that lake because of a fear of the sharks. But statistically, there's as good as no chance of ever being attacked in the lake. But the same person has absolutely no problem heading down the street for a beer and a burger, despite the pretty staggering statistics around heart disease. See, it's the same irrational fear that stops us from doing things that aren't really dangerous. It's an irrational fear of flying that can stop us going on the dream holiday, even though we're really happy to jump in the car and cruise along, which is far more likely to kill us. But of course, we've seen lots of pretty irrational fears come to play at the moment during this corona pandemic panic. We've seen panic buying, or we might call it irrational fear buying. Irrational fears can make us do some pretty silly things. And so we see that fear can be both good and bad. And when we don't have a healthy fear of dangerous things, it can get us into all sorts of troubles. But likewise, if our fear is overactive and it heads into that irrational territory, it can be crippling. It can cause us to miss out on some great things. And so I want to show you one more great thing that fear does. And it's our second point, and that is that fear brings perspective. See, one of the things that fear does is that it shows us what we most value. When you stop and think about your greatest fears, they tell you something about what you really value. Often it's as simple as your life. So think about when you travel, lots of people, especially those cautious, perhaps could we say fearful people, will grab something like this. It's a sneaky hidden travel pouch. You wear it under your shirt, and it's hidden away, and in it, you put all the things you're most worried about losing. The passport, the money, the phone. And you do that, you put those things in there because those are the things most valuable. Those are the things that you fear losing the most. And ultimately, that's what fear is about, isn't it? It's about what we're most worried about losing. When we dig down, we find that our greatest fears, and I think when we say fear, that extends to the idea of worry and anxiety in the same way. Those fears and worries, anxieties, all revolve around those things we tend to value. Our wealth, our health, our relationships. We fear losing our jobs, not usually because we like having a fancy business card. It's because our job is the thing that brings us wealth, our security, and ultimately our comfort. One of the things you discover when you have kids is just how much you value them. All of a sudden you have all sorts of fears, both rational and irrational, around protecting them and keeping them safe. I was pretty reckless as a kid. I remember jumping off all sorts of things, off the roof. I remember jumping head first into gravel driveways. I did some pretty stupid things, and I thought it was great. But the moment my little girl wants to jump off something as small as the couch, there I am hovering just in case. But have a listen to what Jesus says is the thing that's of ultimate value. Of all those things, Jesus tells us there's one thing that's ultimately valuable. And he tells us via the form of a short story, a parable, and it goes like this. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. And so the idea there is there's this guy, he's out walking. As he walks, he finds this incredible stash of treasure. And this treasure is so valuable that he's willing to part with everything he owns just to get his hands on it. The picture there is the picture of someone who's giggling with joy to himself as he sells off his stuff because he knows the value of the treasure he's getting his hands on. Jesus is saying that belonging to God's kingdom, that the following Jesus is more valuable than anything else on earth. And that's a huge claim. When you think about the fears we have at this crazy time in the world, to say that being a Christian is more valuable than all the other stuff that we're clinging to and worrying about, well, in one sense, that seems outrageous, doesn't it? How can Jesus make such a huge claim? Well, it's because belonging to God's kingdom is something that lasts in a way that nothing else does. See, we know that we can't count on anything in this world to last. We can't count on jobs or financial security, that's clear. There's no guarantee on our health, and again, that's really present at the moment, isn't it? We can't even count on there being toilet paper or flour when we go to the supermarket. Nothing in this life lasts. And ultimately, death, well, it'll take us all. Probably not by a shark attack, which is nice, but death will come for us all. See, God's kingdom is so valuable because it's the only thing that survives this world and into the next. And so that's the third thing I want to talk about, that Jesus gives us a hope that conquers fear. Really, that's what the Easter story is all about. It's the story of Jesus conquering the greatest of all fears, death. On Good Friday, he died a horrible death. He was hung on a cross until he died, and he did that, the Bible tells us, for our sake. But it wasn't the end. On Easter Sunday, the tomb was opened, and there he was, death defeated. He showed us that for those who have put their trust in him, death is not the end. We have the sure hope of something better. When I was asking people to send me a video with something that they fear for the beginning of this talk, I had a wonderful couple from church. I had this great conversation with them. See, they confidently told me that for them, death wasn't on their list of fears. And they said that because they knew where they were headed. Maybe a good way to think about it is with those words from Jesus that Nathan read out earlier. The words he said, so this is Jesus talking. He said, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you wear. Later on, Jesus went on to say, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Now, how can Jesus make such a big call? How can he tell you not to worry? Well, it's good to realize that he's not saying there that those things are unimportant. Of course, food, drink, clothing, they're all important. They're all things that we would put in the essential category. But Jesus is telling us to keep our eyes not on those things, but on the bigger picture. Look how he finishes that section of the Bible. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek first God, focus on that, and then you'll get perspective on the rest. The Bible tells us that God not only loves you, but that he's in control as well. That even in the midst of this craziness, he's bringing about good. Now that might be hard to see. Just like during that first Easter, the disciples saw Jesus' death and they must have wondered, how could good possibly come out of this moment? How could anything be retrieved from this? What is God doing? But all the while, Jesus was conquering death. And he was doing something that we're still celebrating now 2,000 years later. There's a great Christian saying that goes like this. Maybe you've heard it before. It says, peace is not being in control. It's knowing someone else is in control. When we become Christians, we recognize that it's God who's in control. And more than that, that he's good. And so he's bringing about good. Even as humanity works hard to make a mess of things, there is God working for good. And so if you're a Christian, I want to encourage you to remember that God is in control and that he's good. And that when we put our trust in him, we can have a hope that lasts into eternity. And nothing can take that away from us, not even death, not spiders or snakes. Now that's hard to remember, especially in the midst of a pretty chaotic world. So remember what he's done for you. Remember Jesus' death on the cross. Focus on the hope that that has won for us. And if you're not there yet, I want to encourage you to grab hold of the hope that's on offer. Check it out. Find the peace that comes with it. Now, perhaps as I say all that, you're finding it hard to imagine what it might look like to live like that, to have this hope. So now I'm going to hand over to Cassie and Tamika. They're going to have a little chat. They're going to share a little of what life looks like when you have a hope like that, a hope in Jesus. So I'm going to pass over to them now. Thanks, guys. See you next time.